This is the Dave Ross Show on News Talk 710, Cairo.
Thanks to Barack Obama, CNN beat the broadcast networks on Tuesday night. The night when Barack Obama became the first African-American man to become the presumptive nominee of a major party in this country. None of the big networks, Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, none of them was in election mode that night. Instead, they were all in rerun mode. I mean, they had nothing better to put on, and they couldn't cover what is a historic story. And so people were turning to the 24-hour news networks, MSNBC, Fox, and especially CNN, which was the most watched network of all of them on Tuesday night. I think that's fairly impressive and says something maybe different about this year's election. And I told you yesterday that all this talk about Hillary Clinton as Obama's VP is nonsense and is not going to come to anything. The negotiations that are going on over the next couple of days before she officially ends her campaign and comes out with her 100% endorsement of him for the presidency, those negotiations have to do with staffing and money. I told you that yesterday. Today, there's a story on the Bloomberg News Service about how the Obama campaign is open to helping Clinton pay off her campaign debt of more than $20 million. It says money for Clinton to retire her campaign debt, $11.4 million of which she owes herself, may help smooth relations between the two camps after this long primary campaign. And she's got to pay off that personal loan to herself of $11.4 million before the Democratic convention at the end of August. Otherwise, by law, she can only get back $250,000. So rather than try to go back to some of the supporters and try to get them to write her checks again, she's going to try to have the Obama campaign chip in some money. So is this really a different year? Well, it is certainly when you look at the man who is the Democratic nominee, a real African-American, not just a black American. Here's a guy whose father was Kenyan and his mother was from Kansas. By definition, that makes him an African-American. But what does it say about America that we've come to this point in 2008? I've asked John McWhirter to join me. He has written a piece about racism in retreat in this week's New York Sun. He is a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute and author of the book Winning the Race Beyond the Crisis in Black America, and has written extensively on racial matters. John, thanks for your time this morning.
Oh, no problem. Hi, how are you doing?
So have we entered a post-racist America era?
More or less, and I think the important aspect of it is degree. So, of course, there is racism, and all you have to do is open the paper and you read about this incident or that incident, but we've come a very, very, very long way, and I think that when it gets to the point that a black man can be the Democratic nominee, and that it isn't even that hard. That's what's important. This wasn't something that he pulled off by the skin of his teeth. He kind of sailed into this with minor obstacles. I think we can say that something has happened. And in the piece that I wrote in the New York Sun today, I said that a year and a half ago, when I told people this was going to happen, everybody treated me like I was saying it in 1976. Things have changed.
Yeah, when you said that a year and a half ago, people weren't just dismissing it because you were talking about a black guy. They were talking about it because of the time. Hillary Clinton was the, by far, favorite presumptive nominee of the party. They were willing to already give her the title 18 months ago, weren't they?
Yeah, and I mean, there were two prongs. Some people would say, you don't know what the Clinton machine is going to do to him. And I was not, that struck me as unlikely, too. I didn't foresee Reverend Wright. But in terms of the Clintons digging up some sort of information on him, I was thinking this guy is so squeaky clean in most ways that it would be unlikely. But then there was another kind of person who would say, and there were white people as well as black people, who would be very perplexed that I would actually think that white people would vote in large numbers for a black man. And you remember the whole idea was all those white people at Obama's rallies are having a good time, but then when they go into the voting booth, they're going to vote for a white person.
Yeah.
And all of that turned out to not be true. And I think we need to pat ourselves on the back about it, and I think we need to realize that something has really changed in a way that a lot of people don't seem willing to admit this event is too large for people to keep denying it.
Don't we need to say that we're not talking about America voting for a black man? That we're talking about them voting for this black man? Because America was never going to make Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or Alan Keyes the president of these United States.
That is definitely true that Obama is a transitional figure. And you're not supposed to say this too loud, but there's nothing wrong with saying it. Part of his appeal is that he's not, quote-unquote, too black. And it's not an accident that the closest his candidacy came to derailing was when somebody decidedly very black, like Reverend Wright, popped up on our laptops and screens. But, you know, we would expect that the first black president would not be somebody whose general orientation towards America is confrontational and who gives off the faint odor of not liking white people very much. Obviously, that person, if that kind of person ever winds up in the White House, it certainly isn't going to be the first black person. It was going to be someone with a kind of mongrel heritage, somebody with an Ivy League education, and you might even say somebody whose skin is only so dark. And so, yes, this is what we would expect, and I think that Obama fulfills that role admirably.
It's, you know, and he's very much in that way like Jackie Robinson. It had to be the right black guy.
Mm-hmm. And he's very much the right one. And what's interesting is that, nevertheless, he's not Colin Powell. And so I think that it's not that Barack Obama is black only in terms of the amount of melanin in his skin, but that otherwise, basically, he's just an American. And I'm not knocking Colin Powell, but black identity in Colin Powell, very, very thin, very abstract. He's just an American person. Whereas Obama, we see, has a very black American wife. He was going to a very black American church. He can summon a black American cadence in his voice. So he is black. And I think that says something about America, too, that it's not just that he's purely a symbol. He's not a white man in any way. And I think that people can see that and yet see him as representing America.
It's News Talk 710 Cairo. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Dave Ross. I'm talking with John McWhirter about Barack Obama and whether, in fact, we do have racism in retreat, which is the title of a column he has in today's New York Sun. You keep mentioning Reverend Wright and Barack Obama's ex-church, the Trinity United Church of Chicago. Tell me your thoughts on having seen that all play out in the media over the last few months.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of people are taking that stuff too literally. I think it was one of the few things where I found myself saying in the media, it's a black thing. People listen to that kind of fiery rhetoric from someone. One in 20 people in the church will actually agree with what he's saying, but it's the way he's saying it, it's the music of it, it's the entertainment value. It's kind of what I called it in one piece I wrote, a kind of Sunday morning version of gangster rap. You know, nobody wants to go out and shoot anybody, but there are people who like to listen to guys talking about it. Same thing there. And so I think a lot of people were very alarmed to see that black church being so excited over what Reverend Wright was saying, and they didn't understand why the Obamas could sit and listen to it. But what they missed was that that stuff is a performance. Actually, Peggy Noonan got it best in a column she did in the Wall Street Journal about a month ago. People can enjoy kind of sticking their fists up in the air against oppression of their ancestors, even if they never experienced the oppression. It's just kind of a warm-blooded, lusty feeling that human beings often have. And that's all that was. And so I think that it really was overblown. It required trying to forge some sort of understanding between whites and this particular black thing. But I'm glad that it died down, because Obama doesn't think like that, man.
Died down for now.
For now.
Don't you think it's going to come back in a very ugly way in the general election campaign?
Well, it depends on how much understanding can be fostered. If people are really going to believe that because Obama listened to that man doing that, that's the way he thinks. There's a cognitive dissonance, because that would mean that Obama was a magnificent actor and a magnificent liar, because there's nothing in his books and nothing that he said that indicates that he hates America in that way, that he's given to that kind of visceral, performative ideology. And it seems to me that that's only going to become clearer as he has to start making his views on foreign policy and domestic policy clearer as he goes up against McCain.
Doesn't the Reverend Wright incident also go back to the point that you were making just 2 minutes ago about not being too black? When a lot of white Americans who would consider voting for an African American saw that video of Reverend Wright, whether it was on YouTube or played over and over again on the networks, for many of them they went, uh-oh, maybe he is too black.
Yep, they did. And so I think there was no question in anyone's mind, black or white, after that, as to whether Barack Obama was authentically black. But yeah, the idea behind Obama, the reason so many white people like him, is that he's not black in a way that threatens white people with an outburst about how racist they are. White people are sick of that, and justifiably. And Obama seemed like the kind of black person who was beyond that. Although, as I say, still black, because white people in America are blacker than they used to be in terms of what sort of voices and music they respond to. So part of, you know, to the extent that Obama has a certain flavor, as they put it, I think white people like that too. But Wright did make it look like, for a minute, Obama has that element in him of stirring things up and calling people names and rehashing the past. And so the question is, how much of Obama is that pastor? And so far, it seems like we've gotten to a sort of at least truce on it.
Isn't there also a generational factor here, John? I mean, hip-hop is not the most popular form of music in the United States of America because only black kids are listening to it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is 70% of rap's listeners are white, of course. And it's interesting because Reverend Wright is generational. People who pull that sort of stuff are almost always now 60, a little younger than 60, maybe older than 60. That kind of person is a remnant of a period 40 years ago when maybe that dialogue made a little bit more sense. Nobody young does that. It's the sort of thing you watch an older man do. And interestingly enough, the younger version of that kind of performance is actually the nastier kinds of rap, where people channel their certain inner aggression or a kind of certain inner fantasy of redemption through listening to these guys bragging about themselves. All of it is just different renditions of humanity.
Now, Obama has had problems during the Democratic primaries in some states, particularly with, quote, working class whites, unquote. We saw that in West Virginia. We saw that in Pennsylvania. We saw that in several other states across the country. What happens when we get to the general election and many of those who were Democrats wouldn't vote for him? Now you add in the Republicans who wouldn't vote for him, not because he's black, but because he's a Democrat. What does that mean for November 4th?
Well, I don't think it'll mean a whole lot. I mean, we can't predict at this point. I don't think that there's any smart money that you can put on which of these men is going to wind up being president this week. But I think that the number of people who were so wedded to Hillary Clinton or so opposed to Obama, whether or not it's because he's black, that they would actually vote Republican, and especially for McCain, who more and more is looking like, you know, somebody who's quite similar to Bush, who lots of people have lots of problems with. I think it's unlikely. Talk about personal drama. I think that certain people will say, I'm going to vote for McCain or I'm not going to vote at all, who on November 4th are going to go into the voting booth and pull the lever for the Democrat like they've done for the past 50 years of their lives. My prediction, which is a surmise, but my prediction is that we will find that the number of people who jumped ship like that because they didn't like Obama's skin color or they didn't like him will not be small enough to have had a major effect on what happens in the election.
All right. Last thing before I let you go here. 5 months from today, we'll know the identity of the next president of the United States, the person who will take the oath of office on January 20th of 2009 to become the 44th chief executive of this land. If that is Barack Obama, does that really signify a new America?
Yes, for the young. Like, for people who are already adults, it's going to be the same old stuff.
No, I mean to the world.
To the world? Oh, I think it'll be a minor help that the face that represents the world is not a white one. But a lot of the problems that we have geopolitically are so deep-seated that I don't think there's going to be any magic bullet there. The main change will be within this country.
John, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
John McWhorter is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He wrote the book Winning the Race, Beyond the Crisis in Black America, and he's got a column called Racism in Retreat that appears in the New York Sun. You can find it at newyorksun.com. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Dave Ross Show on News Talk 710 Cairo.